Chapter 56, A Truth Bearing the Divine Credentials.
The items drawn from reports on the reception of the message of righteousness by faith as it was presented following the General Conference held in Minneapolis in 1888. The message from God is drawn from report of the camp meeting at Rome, New York. The present message, justification by faith, is a message from God. It bears the divine credentials, for its fruit is unto holiness. Some who greatly need the precious truth that was presented before them, we fear, did not receive its benefit. They did not open the door of their hearts to welcome Jesus as a heavenly guest, and they have suffered great loss. There is indeed a narrow way in which we must walk. The cross is presented at every step. We must learn to live by faith. Then the darkest hours will be brightened by the blessed beams of the Sun of Righteousness. We are not safe if we neglect to search the Scriptures daily for light and knowledge. Earthly blessings cannot be obtained without toil. And can we expect that spiritual and heavenly blessings will come without earnest effort on our part? The mines of truth are to be worked. Says the psalmist, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Psalms 119:130. The word of God must not be kept apart from our life. It must be entertained in the mind, welcomed in the heart, and be cherished, loved, and obeyed. We need also much more knowledge. We need to be enlightened in regard to the plan of salvation. There is not one in 100 who understands for himself the Bible truth on this subject that is so necessary to our present and eternal welfare. When light begins to shine forth to make clear the plan of redemption to the people, the enemy works with all diligence that the light may be shut away from the hearts of men. If we come to the Word of God with a teachable, humble spirit, the rubbish of error will be swept away, and gems of truth, long hidden from our eyes, will be discovered. There is great need that Christ should be preached as the only hope and salvation. When the doctrine of justification by faith was presented at the Rome meeting, it came to many as water comes to the thirsty traveler. The thought that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us, not because of any merit on our part, but as a free gift from God, seemed a precious thought. The Review and Herald, September 3, 1889. No relish for sin. When we are clothed with the righteousness of Christ, we shall have no relish for sin, for Christ will be working with us. We may make mistakes, but we will hate the sin that caused the sufferings of the Son of God. The Review and Herald, March 18, 1890. Extreme teaching. There are grand truths, long hidden under the rubbish of error, that are to be revealed to the people. The doctrine of justification by faith has been lost sight of by many who have professed to believe the third angel's message. The holiness people have gone to great extremes on this point. With great zeal, they have taught, only believe in Christ and be saved, but away with the law of God. This is not the teaching of the Word of God. There is no foundation for such a faith. This is not the precious gem of truth that God has given to his people for this time. This doctrine misleads honest souls. The light from the Word of God reveals the fact that the law must be proclaimed. Christ must be lifted up, because he is a Savior who forgiveth transgression, iniquity, and sin, but will by no means clear the guilty and unrepentant soul. The Review and Herald, August 13, 1889. The message bears fruit. The note from the compilers, Ellen G. White, report of the fruitage of the message of righteousness by faith observed at the General Conference of 1889 in Battle Creek, Michigan, October 18 to November 5. Reference to the Spirit manifest at Minneapolis is to the situation which grew out of an approach to Bible study at the General Conference of 1888, held in Minneapolis in an argumentative and debating spirit, accompanied on the part of some with criticism and ridicule. We are having most excellent meetings. The spirit that was in the meeting at Minneapolis is not here. All moves off in harmony. There is a large attendance of delegates. Our 5 o'clock morning meeting is well attended, and the meetings good. All the testimonies to which I have listened have been of an elevating character. They say that the past year has been the best of their life. The light shining forth from the Word of God has been clear and distinct. Justification by faith, Christ our righteousness. The experiences have been very interesting. I have attended all but 2 morning meetings. At 8 o'clock, Brother Jones speaks upon the subject of justification by faith, and great interest is manifested. There is a growth in faith and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There are quite a number who have not had an opportunity to hear upon this subject before, but they are taking it in and are being fed with large morsels from the Lord's table. The universal testimony from those who have spoken has been that this message of light and truth, which has come to our people, is just the truth for this time, and wherever they go among the churches, light and relief and the blessing of God is sure to come in. We have a feast of fat things, and when we see souls grasping the light, we are rejoiced, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ is the great pattern. His character must be our character. All excellence is in him. Turning from man and every other model, with open face, we behold Jesus in all his glory, and their minds are filled with the grand and overpowering ideas of his excellency. Every other object sinks into insignificance, and every part of moral discipline is lost which does not promote their likeness to his image. I see heights and depths that we may reach, accepting every ray of light and going forward to a greater light. The end is near, and God forbid that we shall be asleep at this time. I am so thankful to see with our ministering brethren a disposition to search the Scriptures for themselves. There has been a very great lack of deep searching of the Scriptures, storing the mind with the gems of truth. How much we all lose because we do not put to the tax our minds to search with much prayer for divine enlightenment to understand His holy Word. I believe there will be a decided advance among our people, a more earnest endeavor to keep pace with the third angel's message. Manuscript 10, 1889. The beginning of the loud cry. Let everyone who claims to believe that the Lord is soon coming search the Scriptures as never before. For Satan is determined to try every device possible to keep souls in darkness and blind the mind to the perils of the times in which we are living. Let every believer take up his Bible with earnest prayer that he may be enlightened by the Holy Spirit as to what is truth, that he may know more of God and of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Search for the truth as for hidden treasures, and disappoint the enemy. The time of test is just upon us, for the loud cry of the third angel has already begun in the revelation of the righteousness of Christ, the sin-pardoning Redeemer. This is the beginning of the light of the angel whose glory shall fill the whole earth. For it is the work of everyone to whom the message of warning has come, to lift up Jesus, to present him to the world as revealed in types, as shadowed in symbols, as manifested in the revelations of the prophets, as unveiled in the lessons given to his disciples, and in the wonderful miracles wrought for the sons of men. Search the scriptures, for they are they that testify of him. If you would stand through the time of trouble, you must know Christ and appropriate the gift of his righteousness, which he imputes to the repentant sinner. The Review and Herald, November 22, 1892. Appropriating the righteousness of Christ. Through Christ, restoration as well as reconciliation is provided for man. The gulf that was made by sin has been spanned by the cross of Calvary. A full, complete ransom has been paid by Jesus, by virtue of which the sinner is pardoned and the justice of the law is maintained. All who believe that Christ is the atoning sacrifice may come and receive pardon for their sins. For through the merit of Christ, communication has been opened between God and man. God can accept me as his child, and I can claim him and rejoice in him as my loving Father. We must center our hopes of heaven upon Christ alone, because he is our substitute and surety. We have transgressed the law of God, and by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. The best efforts that man in his own strength can make are valueless to meet the holy and just law that he has transgressed. But through faith in Christ, he may claim the righteousness of the Son of God as all-sufficient. Christ satisfied the demands of the law in his human nature. He bore the curse of the law for the sinner, made an atonement for him, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Genuine faith appropriates the righteousness of Christ, and the sinner is made an overcomer with Christ, for he is made a partaker of the divine nature, and thus divinity and humanity are combined. He who is trying to reach heaven by his own works in keeping the law is attempting an impossibility. Man cannot be saved without obedience, but his works should not be of himself. Christ should work in him to will and to do of his good pleasure. If a man could save himself by his own works, he might have something in himself in which to rejoice. The effort that man makes in his own strength to obtain salvation is represented by the offering of Cain. All that man can do without Christ is polluted with selfishness and sin. But that which is wrought through faith is acceptable to God. When we seek to gain heaven through the merits of Christ, the soul makes progress. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we may go on from strength to strength, from victory to victory. For through Christ, the grace of God has worked out our complete salvation. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Living faith enables its possessor to lay hold on the merits of Christ, enables him to derive great comfort and satisfaction from the plan of salvation. The Review and Herald, July 1, 1890.